Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. Boy, it's Thursday already, huh? March 27th. Wow, the end of March, too.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah. How does time fly like this? I don't get it, you know?
I know.
I really don't. I mean, March just started.
Someone said to me, I think it was a couple of days ago, oh, I'm getting ready for April 1st. They told me a terrible joke, and I was like, what's April 1st?
Right.
Like, April Fool's Day, duh. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God, it's almost April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I know. It's just around the corner. That's true. Actually, next Tuesday is the 1st.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. So it's going to be tax month as well, taxes month. And have you done your taxes yet? Do you have to do taxes?
Mm-hmm.
I guess everybody does, right? Even the illegals have to do taxes.
I'm legal.
I know you are. I'm just saying in general. I know. You don't seem like you do anything illegal, you know. And I know, even to stay in the United States and stuff, although a lot of people do stay, but it's like, how can you blame them, you know? I mean, you come here, it's the best place in the world to be, and you come here, you know.
Definitely.
And that's the thing. That's where everybody ends up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we get to the show, I got to do this because I keep forgetting. you remember we had Siona Thacker, the Kabbalah woman here, and I ended up going to for her to have a reading done. And she was she amazed me with the accuracy of everything. She helped me put things in perspective, show you the meaning, why you're here, what you're here to accomplish, when good times are, and so forth. And I was just blown away. So I also sent her a friend, and who came away, you know, totally amazed too, you know. So
yeah.
I told Siona I'm going to promote her whenever I remember, and I've been forgetting. So if any of you want to go to, you know, get a reading based on the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism and spiritualism and all that sort of things. There's like a lot of mystery to it too, you know. If you like
Definitely. Like
mysterious things and things like that, you know, like they've written a lot of novels around that and so forth. So supposedly the people that are heavy into the Kabbalah, like the sages, the wise men and stuff, they have access to, like, you know, extraordinary forces and stuff. So
I definitely want to go.
Yeah.
I've been looking to get a reading, and I think it's a different kind. I'm not Jewish, but... Yeah.
You don't have to be. That's
the
point.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. Because this applies to all people. People are people, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you believe. This is how things work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, religion was man-made, you know? It's not like... that's the way it was. Man made it this way, you know?
Yeah.
We created our own... rules for society and things like that, you know, and the same thing with religion. It's not something that there's a difference between faith and like God or spirit, something bigger than you, and being religious and just following the rituals and, you know, not being into it.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
So you don't have to be Jewish at all. And so if you guys need to get a hold of her, and she's got some great paintings too, that are also based on like spiritual things. Her website is SionaThacker.com. That's S as in Sam, SionaThacker.com. But it's easier if you just call her. I'll also put the number on our page. We already have it when she was on the show. But it's her phone number is 818-471-2271. So just give her a call, and she's an amazingly generous woman, and she'll do great by you. So, again, 818-471-2271, Siona for a Kabbalah reading. I mean, you're going to get predictions and everything. So anyway, so awesome. I did my share this morning of promotion.
That's a good deed of the day.
Yeah, I guess. So I'm already ready for the weekend. It's Thursday, I know, but I'm ready for the weekend.
I feel like everyone's ready for the weekend on Monday.
I know. I'm telling you. Now, do you ever subscribe to the Thursday throwback thing with Facebook?
Sometimes when I go throwback on Instagram Thursdays, on Thursdays, I know before I even think about it that it's Thursday because all I see are throwback Thursday photos.
I know, I know. And you go, what is this? You know.
And now it's flashback Friday.
Right.
There's some transformational Tuesday,
that's
woman
true,
crush huh? Wednesday, man crush Monday. I'm like, oh my God.
Really? Wow.
Something for every day. You can literally tell what day it is from social media.
That's
just
true.
Just from looking up photos.
You can tell
it's
everything
insane.
From social media.
Yeah.
I was reading this morning, someone put a link to this guy who calls himself the Instagram millionaire or something. Have you heard of him?
I've read this.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
The,
yeah, and this guy, I mean, I didn't really read about it. I just saw pictures and
stuff. Saw the pictures of his million cars.
Yeah, yeah. Cars and beautiful women and yachts and all this stuff. And I'm not sure. It's a pretty young guy, too, you know.
I
don't know what's going on
with
him.
I've read the same article. It's on BuzzFeed, I think.
Yeah.
But that's what people are, like, I've got friends that are like, I want to be Instagram famous. I'm like, where does that get you?
Yeah.
Like, that's a goal of yours?
Yeah,
you want to be
true.
Instagram famous? What does that mean?
But maybe it'll make him, like, really famous, you know? I mean, look at Justin Bieber and stuff we discovered on YouTube.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
So I guess it could happen, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the chances are very low, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to get attention.
I just don't get what that means. Is that you want a certain amount of followers or likes or I don't know.
It's kind of
like, post photos.
Yeah, I know. But it builds up your clout and everything online. For some people, it's important, you know, to have sort of like, so when people look you up, they see, oh, he's got tens of thousands of followers on Twitter and there and this.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Hollywood.
Right. But I'm never impressed by that because there's nothing easier than to buy Twitter followers and Facebook followers.
You know, I didn't realize that people did that
until
it was like a couple weeks ago on Instagram. Someone that I follow went from getting like 4 likes, like literally barely any, to 100 and something.
Wow.
Within like 2, like literally. One, I think she got 8 likes and the next she has 120 something.
Wow.
And I'm like, how? Like, what? So I like look. She's her followers have gone from like 1,000 to 6,000.
Yeah,
like what is going
right?
on?
Yeah,
and I look at all her. I was interested then. I was like, how? Because I was looking at her followers. They all have 0 posts.
Oh, really?
They don't have any followers. And I'm like, so you bought
those?
And
bought
then
those.
I like Googled and I saw that you could buy them. And I was like, firstly, who has extra money to buy followers?
You know
I have
what?
A lot
it's
of
not...
things that I can spend my money on
that's
not
true.
Followers on Twitter and Instagram
and
Facebook. Can you buy them on Facebook too?
Yeah, everywhere.
I just, it's insane.
Yeah, and it's cheap too. Don't think it's expensive. You
oh,
know?
Really?
But the thing is, people do this because like it's worth money to them, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, if people look you up and like for you, it's not important, you know, because it's like you don't need to impress people with like a lot, you know, and stuff. And that's why you just post your pictures and that's it. You don't really care. And the same with me, you know, I've got like, you know, thousands of Facebook friends, many of them I don't even know in person. But at the same time, you know, they're real friends and everything, but I don't really count, you know?
Yeah.
But, so that's what happens. That's why I'm not impressed with anybody, you know? But if this guy gets, like, all these pictures on yachts and stuff with beautiful women, again, it could all be, you know, staged and stuff. But who knows, you know? I don't know. What's it worth it to him to pay to be able to stage all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of money to stage, like, these photos of... I mean, I guess you could take photos of the cars anywhere, but they were all beautiful cars. And it looked like it was in a yard.
Yeah.
And photos of beautiful houses on yachts with girls. He's paying a lot of money to get these photos with girls just for a photo on Instagram.
That's true, huh?
if that's what he's doing. But
man, people do crazy stuff, you know. Yeah. So, well, we have a couple guests today. One is sitting here, and we're going to have her join us in just a second. And then we're going to have a phone guest at the bottom of the hour who is going to talk to us about some things that they're doing. They're doing like a 100-city tour or something. They're called the Minimalists, and we're going to find out all about them in a little bit.
Interesting.
So, but just so I guess with the plane, what's the latest on the plane? You've been following that?
Now they've found bodies.
They found bodies of people?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Well, they've found an. This is the latest I read this morning. Whether it's true, I don't know. Yeah. My sources weren't very good this morning. They were from Facebook. So,
oh, God.
But apparently one person's still alive. But again, maybe I may be completely wrong on
this. This is like a hoax, man. I'm looking at CNN and they're just still not sure what they're seeing from the satellite.
Oh, you know, like, well, my source is completely off then.
Yeah, what's your source? I mean, all I can tell you is CNN's been following this for 3 weeks already, nonstop, you know? So I don't see anything about bodies here, I'd hate to tell you, but if they were bodies, I'm sure we'd know about it. So true. Don't get you this on Facebook anymore, yeah?
Yeah, well, to clarify, I didn't think my sources were good this morning,
yeah,
so
okay.
I didn't know if I believed it.
Yeah, exactly. But so don't even cite your sources. We don't want to know.
Yeah. But I still, I don't know. I'm still speculating. Like, I still think it was more to it, a lot more to it. I think a lot more is going to come out over the next couple weeks.
Wow, we'll see.
Yeah.
Wow, she's talking conspiracy here. We'll see what you're talking about.
We'll see. I'm probably wrong. I'm always wrong. It's probably just an engine failure or, I don't know, something like that.
Well, yeah, who knows? And then they have like a page here on 17 couples we wish never broke up. It's like, I'm not going to go through even
Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Well, I guess there's, that's true. Maybe they're part of it. I haven't even looked. The only reason I brought it up is like, who cares, you know? I mean, I so don't care that they're married that I really don't care if they're not married anymore, you know? And some people, it's like they actually counted 17 couples. I mean, come on, you know?
I think it's more to do with the fact that in Hollywood, you look up to these people and you kind of connect with them in a strange way. Like, I love Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
I feel like we would be best friends. I don't know. I never met her, but that's just what I feel. But, and when her and Brad Pitt cheated on her with Angelina Jolie, I was so sad for her. I still am. I still don't like Angelina Jolie.
Wow.
And I feel like people just connect to these people in Hollywood and look up to these couples and think, like, Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise.
Right.
I didn't think they would break up, and they did. It's just sad.
Yeah, that's
true. But I feel like people should stop getting married in Hollywood because no relationship ever works.
Yeah, I know, but at least they get their kids. That's what they're trying to do, you know? Everybody gets married, has kids right away, and then...
But that's worse for the kids because they have to...
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they don't plan on getting divorced, but at least they're getting the kids out of the way, you know?
True.
But it's like, so the reason I brought it up is I really don't care if they're not together anymore. That's just my personal opinion. But
I care.
Yeah.
I want Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt back together.
Okay.
And Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
I want them back together too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're watching too much Friends, I think.
I do. I watch it every night.
I know. So you connect with Jennifer. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently. And her name is Gabrielle Lewis. Welcome to the show, Gabrielle.
Hi.
Hi. It's okay for you to talk, you know. It is a talk station and it's a radio show, so you can't really show your beautiful smile, so you have to talk. Welcome to the show, Gabrielle.
Thank you.
And so you wrote to me and you said you're a founder of Thrifty Hunter Magazine.
Yes.
What is Thrifty Hunter Magazine? I mean, it really got my curiosity, so I looked in your email and stuff, and it seemed pretty interesting. You seem like a lot of fun. So tell us what that magazine is.
Okay, Thrifty Hunter Magazine, we're an international publication. We basically gear ourselves towards fashion, food, travel, like lifestyle.
Oh, okay.
And we pretty much show people how to live their best for less.
Uh-huh.
You know, living on a budget. And nowadays, in America.
That's true. So you focus on fashion and stuff, but without having to spend a lot of money.
Exactly.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. I need some tips.
Yeah.
What's your best tip out there for people that are shopping on a budget? Because it's pretty much everyone nowadays, especially people in their 20s.
That's true, yeah.
Where do you think are the best places to shop? And is this the kind of thing that you guys talk about?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I talk about like a lot of fashion. And I say just, I mean, shop where you can afford. You know, don't just shop. Don't buy if you see something for like $200. Like, see if you can hunt around and see if you can find it for cheaper. Where there's like, right. if you have like Neiman Markets or something like that. Try going on like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross. You
know, yeah,
like,
that's what I heard.
Try all these different places because you'll find like, yeah. those similar styles for $20.
That's true. That's know? What I hear. Like all these discount mm-hmm. places. You know, I don't go clothes shopping. You know, maybe once a year or something. And if I do, you know, I go maybe down to Melrose and see because they have a lot of great fashion.
Yeah,
there,
a lot of great
know?
Stuff. Yeah,
stuff you can't find anywhere, and it's really worthwhile. You know, I mean, you can take a break from all the Bloomingdale's and the Macy's and everything, and go down to Melrose. You know, they've got pretty nice stuff there.
I would also shop on eBay if I see like some sunglasses I like. I'm straight on eBay as soon as I like write everything down. All the details about the sunglasses, what type they are, like what color they are. Uh-huh. Then I go on eBay and they're guaranteed they're on there. Whether Whoa. They're real or not, I don't know. But they look exactly the same and they're like a fifth of the price.
I know, you know, but you got to be careful sometimes because I know that one time there's some things online that you don't really want to get, you know, because you don't know if it's real or not. I mean, and sunglasses, I mean, it's easy to make a fake one, you know, but imagine I ordered some cologne and it comes, you know, it's shipped to me and I open it. I'm like, this is not the same smell, you know. So I told the, I wrote the company. I said, what is this? You know, this is like a ripoff, you know. It was like $10 less or something than the original. So I told him, I said, I'm sending,
a lot of money.
I told him, I'm sending this back. You know, I don't want this. They gave me full refund. They didn't even argue about it. So they knew. They knew what they're selling. they got caught, you know. So TJ Maxx, you know, Ross, Marshalls, those places. Yeah. So do you go there a lot? I mean, you know they have like big selections and stuff, right?
Of yeah.
things.
Yeah, well, my personal place, I honestly, everyone who knows me, they know I shop at like thrift stores. I love Salvation Army and Goodwill, like different types of places. I mean, I shop there. I can get a full-fledged outfit for $15.
Wow.
Including shoes.
Really?
So, yeah. That's my type of store.
Right. Now, I mean, obviously the clothes are like treated and cleaned and everything, so you don't have to worry about wearing other people's clothes and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, still used, but I mean, hey. Whatever,
Who cares?
Get the best for your buck. I'll take it.
You know, I mean, you know, and you save, you save a couple hundred bucks at least, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I've never really shopped in a thrift store.
Right.
And I love bargains. There's nothing better than a bargain. Like when you wear something and everyone's like, oh my God, I love your dress. It's like, God, you have no idea how cheap this was. It's the best feeling ever, right?
Really?
It really is. But I've never, I need to go to a thrift store. I've never been to one, really.
Yeah. Yeah, check them out and see, you know. I mean, I'm just a sucker for new things, you know, like new cars, new everything. So I don't think I could do this. But then I was spoiled, you know. What the hell, you know. My dad is always, we don't get anything used. And now I'm realizing I never have any money because I'm spending it on new stuff. So it's like, so it's a bad habit. But I guess early on you discovered, hey, I don't have to go and pay full price for clothes if I can get the same thing for less.
Yep.
And so how did the magazine come about? I mean, obviously you were involved in this and you realized, hey, I should tell other people about this, right?
Yeah. I started in as a fashion stylist and I pretty much branched off into trying a magazine. I had visited Japan for about like 2 weeks and
really?
Then I came back and I was just totally inspired, and I just was like, you know what? Let's start a magazine. And the idea actually came from my mother-in-law. She gave me the idea like months before, and I kind of just like totally just ignored her.
So how does Japan fit into all this, though?
It was my inspiration.
How? In what way?
Just their fashion sense. Like, if you go to Japan, like going there, it totally changed my life.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, just my whole outlook.
They dress
on fashion.
So different. Than
Absolutely
we are?
Different.
Really?
It's just they don't care. Like they dress how they want to dress, and it made me like here in LA. Sometimes you know we're a little more simple. You know we kind of dress accordingly. Like you don't want to step out of the box, but there like I literally was free.
Really?
Yeah, I dressed how I wanted to dress, and like no one cared. Like it was just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you came back and you decided, hey, you know, I'm going to like focus on. Now, what was a fashion stylist? What does that mean when you were before, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still am, but I just style different celebrities and stuff like that.
Really?
Like, yeah.
So what, like you pick out the clothes for them and things like that?
Yeah. And shoot for different magazines and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, cool. Wow. And how did you become involved in that?
One day I just decided I wanted to get into fashion, and I was blessed to run into another celebrity fashion stylist, and I assisted her for a while and then broke off on my own.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. So you have no lack of celebrities in this town, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in the best place in the world to do this. Yeah, yeah, if you lived somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, if you went to Nebraska, you wouldn't have a lot of clients.
You wouldn't have a lot of clients at all. No.
So do you, when you're dressing celebrities, do you buy top-of-the-range stuff and tell them to wear that? Or are you kind of hinting, oh, well, you can get something a little bit cheaper?
Well, when I first started, no. I started out like that, you know, just pulling from different stores and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and showrooms and pulling them the best. But as I got into Thrifty Hunter, I moved out and I just kind of told them, you can buy it here for cheaper. So I would go to different stores and tell them, and they would actually buy it right on set.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm also thinking you probably often find things that you wouldn't find in a regular store because maybe they don't make it anymore.
Yeah, one off.
Yeah. Exactly. Or something really unique.
Yeah, it's always one of a kind shopping at thrift stores.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, so you always find like great bargains and stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, things that are interesting. That's true. It makes sense, you know.
And it's the worst feeling when you go to a party and someone's wearing the same thing that you're wearing. It's like, oh, the world's ending. Two people have the same thing on. So at least at a thrift store, you know that no one's going to be wearing, especially if it's a one, well, usually it is, or what different, like one pieces. So, yeah.
Wow.
I need to shop at thrift stores.
That's true. Are you originally from L.A.?
Born and raised.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's unusual. You know, not many people are born here.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, we have people from New York and everywhere in the world, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big deal to be born here, I think. To be a native Angeleno, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've traveled, though. You've been to Japan. Did you travel anywhere else?
No. Japan was actually my first experience.
So what made you go to Japan out of all places?
Oh, my husband, he's a touring musician.
Yeah,
he went there to tour, so I joined him.
Oh, wow. For 2 weeks, huh?
Well, yeah, he was there for a month, and I joined him 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So where did you go to, like Tokyo and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I went to Osaka, Tokyo, Nagoya.
Wow.
All different.
Really? So you liked it, huh? I mean,
you liked
the place. Would you live there?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Asia.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. How does it work with the language, though? I mean, in Japan, I guess it's a lot better than China and stuff. But still, for them, it's hard to learn English, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I kind of enjoyed it, like, not being able to talk to anybody for a while sometimes.
Yeah, like, leave me alone.
I kind of enjoyed it, just walking the streets and not being able to communicate. It was great.
Yeah.
No one can bother you.
That's true, yeah.
That's another thing I don't like about stores. When you walk in and it's constantly, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? It's like, okay, I've been asked by 5 people now. If I need help, I will come to you.
Yeah.
But then it's also, on the other hand, I'm like, if someone doesn't come up to me and I need help, then I'm bothered too.
Yeah.
But
win-win situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Now, before we forget, you wrote to me there's going to be a major fashion event and stuff. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, we are Thrifty Hunter. We're actually hosting the first annual Swap Night Out. And we teamed up with different sponsors and companies around the world. Such as like the Mahogany Box, Sissy Where's My Shoe, the Narcus Closet in London. So we're teaming up with different places. So we have London, Atlanta, Dallas, and here.
Uh-huh.
And what we're doing is we're having our own event where we bring people together and we swap clothing. And
so you
pretty much go, it's springtime, so now it's the time for everyone to start spring cleaning.
That's true.
Through your closet, take out all the different items, you know. Don't just give anything, you know, give something that has value to it, you know, and bring it to the swap night out. And I mean, it's a bunch of ladies and children and men. Just swap, have some fun, you know.
So this is all going to be done on the same day type of
everyone
thing, right?
On the same day.
Wow.
Yes, around the world.
So how do you...
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Now, so where are these... I guess it's going to be in different locations. Where is it going to be in L.A.?
In L.A., it's actually going to be in a lounge off of Wilshire and La Brea.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's not really like a open event. What we're trying to get is people to host their own.
So whether it's
at your house or amongst your friends, you know, it could be huge, it could be small, however you want it. But we're just trying to get more people involved and to be in part of the Swap Night Out because we want it to become something that happens all the time, not just a one-time thing.
Right.
You guys have a lot of sponsors.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now.
Wow. And that's a great idea, too, because, I mean, you know, for business and stuff, you know, obviously this is going to, like, catch on if people do, like those Tupperware parties and stuff, but swap night out, you know? And they do this with different people and stuff. Wow, what a great idea, you know?
But the most important thing is, at the whole point of it is we're giving back.
Right.
It's not just about, oh, everyone come out and let's swap. At the end of the day, we're doing this to give back to different charities and organizations. So all clothing that's not swapped, we're going to donate it. Everyone in their own, wherever they're at, London, Dallas, here, we're going to donate it to various charities.
Wow, very cool. Yeah. Very
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. So is this the first time you guys are holding something like this?
First time.
Really?
So
wow.
We're excited.
And this is your idea?
Well, no, it actually came from a friend on the team of Thrifty Hunter. She's actually the fashion editor of Thrifty Hunter. She came with me with the idea, and we put it in action, and it blew up.
That's great. So now you came from Japan and you decided to start the website? Is this
the magazine? Yeah.
The magazine, which is a website, right? It's an online magazine, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's not like a printed one. I mean, who wants to get involved in all that?
Yeah, I mean, you can buy a print, you know. We're working on trying to get it like where it's cheaper in the printing, but you know, it's really just online for now.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody's getting away from print because it's so expensive and there's so many logistics to it, you know?
And not many people go in and buy. I would rather have it on my phone and it's easier than going to the store, buying the magazine. It's more expensive.
Right.
Everything is. The gas, like going there, it's just a hassle.
Yeah.
Whereas you can get it right up on your phone or your laptop or your tablet, whatever you have.
Right. And to get it to the readers, too. I mean, you know, you gotta do the printing and the binding and the marketing and the distribution and the shipping and all that. It's and the marketing, of course, to promote it. So newsstands and stores will carry it, you know. So that's why that's the way to go is online, really, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Gabrielle Lewis, and the website is thriftyhunter.com. And you guys, that's a Thrifty Hunter magazine, and you can find a lot of different things on here. So you guys are on Kickstarter too, huh?
Yes,
wow,
we are.
How cool. So tell us a little bit about that. You probably want to get some money, raise some money.
Well, I believe we have about 16 days left, and we're trying to, especially that we talked about, you know, trying to stay online, which is actually, we wanted to go into print, but then when you actually look at the demand, online right now is really popular. So we're trying to revamp our website and build an app and different things like that so we can, you know, make our website more user-friendly and including, like, the magazine. We want you to be able to shop. When you see something, the magazine is not just for you to read. It's actually when you read it and you see something in the magazine, you're supposed to be able to buy that. So we want to be able to click on that and say, oh, I see that shirt for $2. I'm getting it. I want it. So we want you to be, you know, we want that kind of app, and we want to be able to build an amazing website. You know, so we can have, you wake up in the morning and you got your different tips. Everyone's looking, oh, Thrifty Hunter, I wonder what's coming up this morning. I need to go to New York. Is there any airfare rates or different things, like how to get there on a budget?
Right.
Just different things.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can see the red carpet for Less from the Oscars.
Yeah.
And then you have like the links to the website. This is cool.
So what, like from this. The Oscars, to find the same clothes but for less?
Yeah, comparison dresses.
But something inspired, not like just
casual
wear.
Obviously not. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars for a dress there, you know?
But it's cool, like Jennifer Lawrence in a Gucci dress, and then it's a $12.90 dress at Forever 21. And yeah, it's a little different, but it's the same kind of thing. Like, I mean, it's $12.90 compared with a Gucci dress.
Wow.
Like, you know?
You have the necklace and the bagged.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is cool.
So have you always been attracted to fashion and had a fashion sense and so forth?
I'll be honest with you. Like, I grew up as a tomboy, and I'm athletic. I was a basketball player and track runner, like, all my life. So, yeah. I wasn't really into fashion. I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah.
Something just literally
you become girly at a certain age, you know?
I know
so many women that said, I used to be a tomboy, you know? and then they grow up and they're so feminine and stuff, so you never know, you know?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you hit it.
Japan.
Japan.
To me overnight.
And it's the age, too, you know? I mean, at a certain point, you realize, hey, I'm attracted to the other sex, you know? I mean, I got to make myself look good, you know?
Need to wear a dress once in a while.
Or even if you're attracted to the same sex, but, you know, you still want to look good, you know? You become aware of how people perceive you and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So very interesting. And so, I mean, there's still a lot of things I wanted to ask you about this. So, so now the event is like, you were talking about the magazine as We. So obviously you put some people together to do this with you. How did you go about that? How did you find people?
Well, I was a fashion stylist, so I knew photographers and stuff like that. And I actually had a friend named Josh Williams. He's a photographer, an amazing photographer in LA. And I actually approached him about the situation first. Uh-huh. And he loved the idea, and then he jumped on board with me. And it just pretty much branched out. I mean, as you grow, you always find people who know just a little bit more than you and who can come in with their different talents and skills. So it right. actually has grown into a team.
Wow.
And international. I just wrote some photographers, and it blew up, you know. So now we have I know a lot of people in other countries, which is great.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And who's at the core of the wait a minute, because our guest is calling in. So we'll get back to that.
Okay.
You know, don't lose our place in the conversation. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam. This is Ryan Nicodemus with The Minimalist.
Yes, Ryan. Thank you for calling back. I'm sorry we couldn't connect yesterday, but we have you on the line now. And I'm grateful for that. So where are you calling us from this morning?
I am in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, wow. You are in Los Angeles. This is cool.
Yeah.
So where are you based? Where do you live?
Currently, I live in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, in Montana. Oh, cool. Wow. Never heard of that place before, but, you know, I mean, obviously there's people coming from there, so that's good.
Yeah, no, it's a great little town, great little community, and there's about 67,000 people there.
Wow. So is that where you're born and raised?
Oh, no, I'm originally from Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, just south of the city, in a little city called Lebanon.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, I was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, and lived a little bit everywhere, but Ohio most of my life.
Oh, wow. So how come you guys moved a lot? Did your dad have a job where it took him different cities?
Oh, no, you know, I had some parents who split up, and they were moving here and there as I was growing up, and eventually they both landed in Ohio.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, you're involved in I don't know if it's just a project or something that's ongoing for you, but you call yourself and your partner the Minimalists. And
yeah.
So who is your partner? Who's the one we're talking about?
He is my best friend of 20-something years. We have known each other since we were fat little fifth graders. We started this website called TheMinimalist.com. You know, basically, we both had worked at the same corporation, and we were, you know, kind of living this American dream. Sam, if you were to tell my 18-year-old self what my 28-year-old self was going to have, I would have been the most excited 18-year-old. Like, wow, I'm going to be so happy when I have all that stuff. You know, I had a nice big 2,000-square-foot condo, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. It even had 2 living rooms. I have no idea why a single guy needs 2 living rooms, but I had them. I was buying a fancy new car every couple years. I was earning 6 figures. I mean, I was living the American dream.
And what were you doing to earn all that money?
Oh, we both had worked in the telecom industry in the Midwest.
Oh, I see. So you became rich that way.
Yeah. So we climbed the corporate ladder. I had about 7 different job titles in the span of 8 or 9 years, and just kind of did the whole corporate ladder thing.
So there is a way to make money working for a corporation. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to make a lot of money.
Yeah, of course not. There's certainly different ways to make a lot of money. But yeah, you know, it just got to a point where I was making all this money. Uh-huh. I had all this stuff, and you know, I thought it would buy me happiness. You know, I thought
money
that I would be happy
happiness.
If I had all these things.
Yeah, that's true. And we all believe that.
Yeah, you know, but instead of happiness, I had a lot of debt. I had a lot of discontent. I had a lot of stress. I had a lot of anxiety. I was miserable.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, it just got to a point in my life where I didn't know what was important anymore.
Right.
I did not know... you know, my world was kind of turned upside down. I didn't know what I needed to have in my life to be happy.
Right.
Because again, I had everything I ever wanted, just to realize it's not really what I wanted at all. So that's really where minimalism came into play for me. You know, before the minimalists.com, I was just, you know, my world was upside down. And it's funny, I noticed my best friend, Josh, who, again, we worked at the same corporation. Right. I noticed this difference in him. He was a lot happier, and he was kind of navigating through life easier. And I didn't understand why, because, you know, first off, we were working at the same corporation, and he was just as miserable as me. We had the same boss, right, and pretty much the same role in the company. And then the second, you know, he went through, he had two of the most traumatic events happen in his life. His mother passed away, and his marriage ended both in the same month.
Wow.
And, you know, so I didn't understand why he was happy, and I definitely didn't understand why he was happier than me after, you know, kind of going through all that.
Right.
So I asked him, you know, dude, why are you so happy? What's going on with you? Like, are you on some antidepressants or what? And he's like, no, man. He's like, you know, I've just been really rethinking the way I'm living my life, and I'm trying out this thing called minimalism, mm-hmm. and it's really allowed me to clear the clutter. It's really allowed me to get all these superfluous things out of the way, right, to make room for what's truly important.
That's true.
And he showed me, like, this entire community of people. It's crazy. There's this guy named Colin Wright. He travels to a new country every 4 months. He carries with him everything that he owns. He only owns, like, 51 things, which to me sounded really crazy at first. I'm like, you know, I kind of like having a kitchen table. I kind of like having chairs. I like having plates so I can invite guests over and have a meal with friends. But then there's people like Joshua Becker, who has a family. He has a full-time job. He has a car. He has a house in the suburbs. There's a gal named Courtney Carver. She has a daughter, lives in Salt Lake City. There's a guy named Leo Babauta who lives in San Francisco. He's got six kids and with his extended family. So, you know, there are all these people with different situations, families, different work situations from different backgrounds. But I noticed right away that they had two things in common. They were living meaningful lives. They were living deliberately. And they seem much richer than any of the so-called rich guys I worked with in the corporate world. And the second thing I noticed was they attributed their meaningful lives, their rich lives, to this thing called minimalism. So I thought, okay, this is something that I might be able to put a recipe together for myself and have my own flavor of minimalism.
Right.
And it started with me with this thing called a packing party. Mm. So, you know, when I looked up at Josh and I said, I'm in, man. I'm a minimalist. Now what? You know, yeah. I didn't know what to do. We came up with this idea of a packing party where we literally packed all my belongings in my 2,000 square foot condo as if I were moving. Mm. My electronics, my TVs, my framed photographs and paintings. We literally packed everything up. And then I unpacked things as I needed it for the next 21 days, for the next 3 weeks. So you can imagine that the first night I unpacked my toothbrush, my bed and bed sheets, you know, some clothes for work the next day. The next day I came home from work and I unpacked the internet. But after that experiment, after 3 weeks, I had 80% of my stuff still packed in boxes.
Really? Wow. That you didn't need?
Yeah, just sitting there, unaccessed. And, you know, I looked at those boxes. I couldn't even remember what was in most of them. So, you know, that was kind of my light bulb moment. I thought, here are all these things I had spent the last decade purchasing and hoarding and placing and filling this condo up to make me happy, and they weren't doing their job. I mean, I hadn't touched them in 3 weeks.
Right.
So I donated and sold everything, and that was really the beginning of our website, theminimalists.com. I went to Josh, and I'm like, dude, I don't think I'm crazy. Like, this makes sense. This is kind of some common sense stuff.
Yeah.
That I really didn't. I always say, unfortunately, common sense isn't that common these days, and I was definitely an example of that.
Right.
And we did what any two best friends would do. You know, we started a blog.
Yeah. There you go.
And
yeah.
We call it The Minimalist, and it grew pretty quickly. We had about 2 million people come to visit the website last year.
Wow.
So do you guys do talk, like, are you speaking to people?
Yeah. So right now we're on a 100-city tour. Uh-huh. LA is number 24 on the list. And we've got an event tomorrow night at the Last Bookstore at 7:00. It's a talk. I talk for about 15 minutes. I kind of tell our story about how we became the minimalists. Josh reads from our new book, Everything That Remains, and then we do some questions and answers.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So the last bookstore, if you're in L.A., it's on 453 South. The last bookstore, 453 South Spring Street, and that's, I think that's downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right there downtown.
Yeah. At 7 o'clock, when, tonight?
Tomorrow night,
the 28th, yes. Okay. So yes. You guys can catch that, and is Josh going to be there with you too?
Yes, yeah, Josh and I will both be there.
Okay, so it's Joshua Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. Are you Greek?
Yeah. It's a Greek name.
Yeah,
I recognize that. I don't know which of my family members are Greek, but it's definitely a Greek name.
Well, it's a cool name to have. Everybody go out and check. Give the website again.
Yeah, theminimalists.com.
Okay, the. Awesome. So it's theminimalists.com. Yep. And you guys can catch this. So you guys wrote a book, too. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Everything That Remains. It's about the last 5 years of our lives, about our stories from suit and tie corporate guys to minimalists.
Sounds good.
Very cool.
So I imagine you guys are much happier now than you were.
Oh, I've never been happier. And it's crazy, too. I make less money than when I made in the corporate world. And I've traveled more in the last 3 years than I did the first 28 years of my existence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Combined. I mean, I just got to tell you, 100 cities, that's pretty impressive, you know? How does anybody go there in one lifetime? I don't get it, but,
Congratulations.
Kudos to you. You must have a lot of money left from when you were in corporate.
No, I wish that was the case. No, we were able to just kind of support this off of our books. And Josh teaches a writing class. I do personal mentoring sessions, and we're just kind of able to pull this together. You know, what's nice about being a minimalist is I have much less bills.
That's
so
true,
I don't have to make as much money as
That's
I did.
That's true, and you don't stay at expensive hotels probably and all that stuff. So
no.
Yeah,
no.
I know. I could never go to 100 cities when I go to 5-star hotels every time. You know, it just doesn't work.
Right, we definitely would not be able to afford that.
Yeah. All right, well, Ryan, thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations, and all the best to you. Everybody in L.A., if you want to see Ryan and Joshua, go to the last bookstore on Spring Street. Ryan, thanks again, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And maybe when you're in town.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure. When you're in town next month, maybe the 101st city will be L.A. again, and you can come and sit in the studio with us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Okay, Ryan, take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So that's a story that's pretty related to what you're talking about. I mean, again, trying to make do with less, and going back to this. So we were talking about the I forget where we left off, but I mean, sometimes I forget like what I said 2 seconds ago. It was funny, Yesterday I was talking to this woman, about hosting the show here and everything. She was in San Francisco, and we were talking, and then I got into this like whole spiel that I was telling her. And then suddenly, I was talking to her, I was making lunch, right? And I was making a sandwich, and suddenly I totally got distracted. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember what I was saying to you. And she's like, she started laughing so hard. She said, I was so like listening so intently and fascinated by what you were saying, and then you forgot. I told her, I said, even at my radio show, sometimes I forget.
Perfect example.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we were talking about just the way you got into this you were a tomboy. Then you went to Japan and you're a stylist, and everything has just come about, and it kind of is similar to the minimalist outlook, because you don't need to spend a lot of money to look good at all.
No.
Right. That's true. It's about the attitude. It's about how you feel about yourself and stuff. Is that something you also discuss with people in addition to like what clothes they get, but obviously with their look, right? I mean, makeup, the way they carry themselves, you know, obviously with men too, right? Do you work with men at all?
Yeah, I work with men, women, children.
Yeah.
Everyone, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. So celebrity children? Is that who you work with?
No. I haven't got there yet. I won't go that far.
That would be fun because some of the kids in Hollywood are cute.
Yeah,
and like, crazy too.
The parents are enough.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So where do you see yourself going from here? I mean, what's going to happen with the magazine? You said you're redoing the website. And the
if we raise our Kickstarter money, if everyone can please help and support, if we raise our Kickstarter goal, you know, we'll be able to revamp our website and get an app, you know, so we can just move forward with everything and have a more user-friendly website and just, you know, make it a much better website and just grow from there. That's where I see Thrifty Hunter. I don't see us going backwards. I see us just rising to the top and becoming that go-to guide, you know, for people to check us out and, you know. So
where was the swap? I forgot the name of it.
Swap Night Out.
Where is that at again? That's in Los Angeles, Dallas.
It's in Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, and London.
Where is it
and
in
Japan,
Los Angeles?
Japan too, I see, right? Japan. You forget to say Japan?
Yeah, well, it hasn't been confirmed yet. Oh, we're working on that one.
All
Where is it in LA?
Well, it's at a lounge, but we're working on confirming the details. Yeah.
It's cool.
So people will find out about it on the website?
Yeah, they'll find out about it if we would like people to see if they want to host their own, you know, because we're trying to get a bunch of pictures together and, you know, and just make it really big. We can, you know, on all of our social networks, just, you know, even if it's 2-5 people at your home, you know, it's still a swap night out. You know?
That's true.
We just want to get everyone involved. And eventually we want to make it to where it's a huge event.
Right.
You know, we all come together, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a swap night out, but don't mistake it for swapping wives or anything. This is about swapping clothes.
Swapping and giving back.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it's not what you think. Well, it's not what I thought. But
yeah.
Cool. It's all about the clothes.
Yeah. Well, Gabrielle Lewis, the magazine is Thrifty Hunter, and you can find it at thriftyhunter.com. There's also links to the Kickstarter campaign there as well. So how much money are you guys trying to raise?
$5,000.
$5,000? That's not hard.
No.
Right? That should be pretty simple to do. And the important thing is you give back to charity and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that's how, you know, and that's why, if nothing else, guys, that's what you should do, is help out with this. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, how do you help people, you know, because many people are like devoted to charity for their entire life, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you look at yourself and you go, I don't do anything for anybody, you know. So this is a good opportunity to help and stuff. Okay, well, Gabriel, so I guess there's links on the website for your Twitter, Facebook,
everything,
things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't need to give that out. And I decided that we shouldn't give out any Facebook or Twitter anymore, because just Google the person, you know. They're all going to come up anyway, rather than sit there and start writing and all that stuff, you know. And, in fact, it's hard for me to remember how to write by hand anymore, you know. It's like I get frustrated when I have to write checks, because then it's like, why am I writing? I forget how to write, you know.
I'm still old-fashioned. I have a planner.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
And a wall calendar.
It's a lost art. I'll bet you nobody will write 20, 30 years from now.
Great.
All right. Well, Gabriel, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All the best to you. And today's Friday, so that means we'll be back tomorrow, right? Today's Thursday. That's what
wishing it was Friday.
I know. It's like every day this week I keep thinking it's the day ahead. I don't know what's going on.
Tomorrow will be Friday.
Okay. So thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.